Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bocce Boys podcast. Today is the 22nd of August, and we have a huge show for you lined up. We are going to go through the entire SEC conference, as well as it's time to get ready for fantasy football, ladies and gentlemen. We have a list of running backs to go through. Make sure you stay tuned towards the end. We have a lot for you. The show starts right now. Welcome back to the Bocce Boys podcast. We are here with a fresh show for you guys. It's been about a week. I apologize. We usually do two, but this is the one for the week, and we got a lot for you. We got some SEC action, like I already said. We got some fantasy, like I already said. But Davis, right off the top, how are we feeling? Because just want to throw this out here. Something we don't have to spend too much time on. The Phillies aren't doing well. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's baseball. We're in August.
We're losing right now, though.
We'll be just fine. Rather have the losing streak start now instead of October.
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough. But, Davis, it is the 22nd of August. Like I said, it's almost football season. Week zero is this weekend. If you don't know what week zero is, it is the appetizer of the football season. Just a little morsel. It's a little morsel. Like, we get Florida State and Georgia Tech on Saturday. I think SMU and Nevada. Like, a couple of decent games just to wet your palate. Let's get ready. But are you ready for some football? Like, how are we feeling?
You're perusing the menu, and you know, you're like, you know what? You know what?
I want to taste test.
Start with the nachos. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, 100%.
Start with a good Florida State Georgia Tech game. That is exactly the appetizer is the perfect word for it because it's not going to fill you up.
No, it will not.
It's going to get you ready enough for football for week one.
Yeah, it will leave you craving more. Something like Penn State and West Virginia on that next Saturday at 12 o'clock. Something like that. That will wet the beak for sure. But we will next weekend for sure. But Davis, let's start with week zero.
Yeah,
and
week zero.
Yeah, let's start with week zero because I think that's a good place to start. There's only a couple of games to really go through. We already talked about Florida State and Georgia Tech, but how about that Montana State and New Mexico game? Is there something you like on either side? Because I see New Mexico State is the underdog in that, and I know that school more than the other one.
Yeah, New Mexico, they are going to show off the lowest over-under win total in all of FBS this year with 1.5 wins on their schedule that Vegas is putting up there for them. Ethan, this team is really bad. There's almost nothing notable.
They're Mountain West, right?
Yes, they're Mountain West.
Which is the largest group of five conference now?
Yeah, we're not going to call them group of five.
Sorry, yeah, it's a weird
four.
Yeah, gray area.
And then the bottom five, I guess. But New Mexico, they are starting off with a true freshman quarterback. This Montana State team made it very far, and they're a very reliable team in the FCS. They always make it far through their playoff. Which is pretty cool. They've actually always they've had a playoff for as long as I can remember. So it's cool that obviously FBS is doing that this year. We all already know that. But Ethan, this line opened up more at like 7 and has bumped all the way up to 11. That shows all the smart money is going to Montana State, which makes sense. You know, the casuals are definitely out there saying, but New Mexico State's an FBS school. Doesn't matter. They're terrible. Montana State's probably going to win double-digit games in the FCS against good teams like North Dakota State. You could even throw Villanova up there. They had a good season last year. But, I like Montana State in this game. If anything, I would go with the under just based off of non-familiarity. But I think that game's going to be very interesting to watch, seeing an FCS team favored against FBS team.
For sure. And that next game, I think, should be also a good game. SMU, their first season in the ACC, taking on the Nevada Wolfpack of the Mountain West.
They're Mountain West.
Yeah. So that should be a good matchup. SMU actually might be somewhat decent this year. I don't really know. They have a very good quarterback. I know that because I played like two games of Dynasty with them. So I have like a somewhat understanding of them. They have a good quarterback. I know that. But, you know, we'll see how SMU does because the ACC will be tough this year and we'll get to that conference eventually. And before we get to Florida State and Georgia Tech, how about this Hawaii and Delaware State game? Hawaii is almost a 40-point favorite to Delaware State. The kicker is Delaware State missed their bus. I don't know how that happens. So they are going to be showing up a little late to that game. So do you think that pushes it one way or another when the line's already 40?
You can see it pushed it one way or the other when the line moved about 2 points when the report came out that they missed their bus. Which is very interesting. Ethan, this is a little nugget I heard from my informational podcast that I listen to that you're not going to hear many other places. Delaware State was flying out of JFK instead of Philadelphia. That is a 2.5 hour difference, probably because they were trying to save a few thousand dollars on this game.
Probably.
They're probably getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to fly to Hawaii to play this football game and lose by 50.
Yeah.
And go up to JFK instead of coming out of Philly. So part of the reason why they missed their flight. I have not done much flight tracking, so I don't know where they are currently.
All right.
The whole, the bus debacle really is going to help out the Warriors, no longer the Rainbow Warriors.
They got rid of that?
They did. Oh. A little. Yeah, so if anything, I actually like the over in this game. I think Hawaii might score 57, 58 points themselves.
Oh, okay.
So
are they good?
They are a gun-slinging offense like they always have been. They have some great wide receivers on the edge and their defense is just pretty mediocre. Their defense could definitely still give up 14, 17 points. But I'm going to take the over in this game. Hawaii might put up 50 easily, maybe with their eyes closed.
Yeah, it's possible. And then the main event, the entree of week zero, Florida State taking on Georgia Tech. This is an ACC matchup, right? Full-on?
This is a full-on ACC matchup. Yes, we actually had an ACC matchup last year in Georgia Tech. I forget who they played, but they played a team week zero last year to start the year. They may have played Notre Dame last year actually to start the year. But this game's very interesting. Georgia Tech's returning a lot of starters, especially on the offensive side. They're an offense.
Are they a triple option team still?
Not really. They phased away from that a little bit. Okay. They are bringing back a quarterback and a lot of an offense that put up over 400 yards per game last year.
Pretty good.
This Florida State team's coming in with a new quarterback that we all know of by the name of a former five-star and backup Trevor Lawrence, DJ Ugalale. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, former Clemson quarterback. He was at Oregon State last year. He's somewhat decent. And don't forget, Florida State got snubbed last year in the college football playoff. They had one loss, I think.
They were undefeated.
They're undefeated and they were snubbed because Jordan Travis tore his ACL. So I imagine Florida State has some turnover. It's a different team, but these Seminoles have to be coming out hot. If I were them, this has to be one of the most important seasons in the last 15, 20 years for them.
For sure. I think a lot of those teams in the 10th to 20th, consistently ranked within that range in the last 10 years. This is a very important season for every team in that range because of the college football playoff. Yeah. You actually have a chance. We all knew the last few years, Georgia and Alabama and a Big Ten school, whether it be Michigan or Ohio State, was going to get in every single year with maybe one floater like TCU 2 years ago. But concerning this game, I actually am going to go with the Georgia Tech side points-wise. I think double digits is going to be a little bit crazy for a school that's bringing in a new quarterback.
Can they stay in this? I know you maybe think they can, stay within 10, but can they possibly win?
I absolutely think so. Yes. Okay. I think there definitely could be some live betting opportunities with this game.
Good to know.
With this the Georgia Tech offense coming back strong as ever and Florida State getting DJ and also having a pretty decent offense and a pretty okay defense. Now, I'm saying that in a bad way. Their defense is definitely what's going to struggle a little bit this year and why I had picked Miami to win this conference.
Yep.
I'm also going to pick the over in this game. I think there definitely could be some points scored and I think it could honestly be a first half shootout to start the game.
I love it. And Davis, before we move on, let's look at this top 25 ranking right here to your left. I want to bring up Miami, actually, since you just mentioned them. I think a lot of people are getting hot at the last second with picking Miami. I think Miami is going to be a huge favorite to, you know, be a top five seed potentially in the playoff at the end of the year if they win the ACC. We got to think now that the top four seeds in the playoff will probably be the top four conference champions. I don't know how they'll, you know, tier it specifically, but do you see Miami being a top 10 team at the end of this year? I know they have the potential, but I mean, they have been one of the almost their teams for since 2002, really, since they were, you know, the U. Can they bring that back?
I absolutely think so. I think if you go through their schedule is very doable. They bring
ACC is tough this year, though. Clemson, Florida State, NC State, it's going to be tough.
So I just kind of went through Florida State a little bit, and not that I think I'm down on them, but I do think sitting around the 10 spot is a decent, you know, spot for them. But here's the thing, and I think I had talked about this on a previous podcast. Miami plays this game against Florida State this year at home, and they avoid Clemson this year. So which I think they actually avoid NC State as well. So I think this Miami team, even with a hiccup loss against Florida State, they have the potential to go 11-1, which is crazy to think about, that they're actually sitting at plus 400 odds still to win the conference. I think going, you know, multiple weeks down the line, maybe after non-conference ball, especially with Clemson starting the year off with Georgia,
yeah.
I think that number is just going to go down. It's just going to get better.
Sure.
It's going to get better. I think it could definitely sit more at like 2-1 within a few weeks. I think Cam Ward might be the best transfer quarterback that moved over the offseason. Some people might say that's Will Howard, who went to Ohio State. Cam Ward has shown that he can sling the ball around at Washington State.
Yeah.
He stuck with the air raid offense out there. And Miami also has a great running back in Chris Johnson Jr. And no, I don't think that's Chris Johnson's son.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I love Miami to win the conference. And again, Georgia Tech, I'll take the plus 10.
I love it. And before we move on, we will talk about the SEC in a second. So let me ask you one question. There are a bunch of teams at the bottom of this top 25 in the Big 12. Which one of these teams can make a run? Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Arizona, or Kansas?
It's very interesting because one of my favorite conference winner bets of the entire summer so far is the Big 12. And you did not say who it is. It is Utah. A newcomer to the Big 12.
Yeah.
They are coming into
the overwhelming favorite.
No, they're a decent amount. They are like about 3-1. Kansas State's about 4-1, and Oklahoma State's about 7. This Utah team got decimated by injuries last year. And they still, I believe, won 10 games. They are bringing back every single person that got hurt last year. And they have the depth now with players that actually started for most of last year. I think this Utah team could run through this conference of misfits almost and definitely make a run at getting a top four seed and winning the conference. Again, that's one of my favorite bets so far, plus 300 for the Utes to win the Big 12.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the Big 12 probably in our next video or the video after that. We'll get to them. But I think that's a good sample tester. I think the Utes are going to be tough this year. I think that people forget how tough it is to play in Utah at night, and especially in a new conference, like
they don't lose at home at
never, all, especially at night. Like they are killers. I mean, remember that those the USC games 2 years ago, some of my favorite college football games I've ever watched. So let's move on, Davis. Let's get to the SEC. I know some people are saying that the Big Ten might be the best conference in college football. Some people have been saying forever that SEC is, but for the first time in a couple of years, there's competition. The Big Ten and the SEC are armed to the gills with powerhouse teams. And SEC might be the stronger one this year, to be honest, just with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. I know the Big Ten got four, but, dude, Texas is good this year. Texas is really, really good this year. And before we get to Texas, let's just start in alphabetical order. Let's start at the top of this graphic if you're watching on YouTube. Davis kindly got this great graphic, gives us all the SEC teams with their schedules, so be sure to look on the YouTube. Davis, let's start in Tuscaloosa, the Alabama Crimson Tide. If you haven't been paying attention, their legendary coach Nick Saban unfortunately retired at the end of last season, and their new coach, Kalen DeBoer, the former Washington University coach, has taken over. There's a little bit of turnover. I know there's a couple Washington guys coming in on their offensive line. Bama's lost a couple key guys like Caleb Downs to Alabama, but they still have their, you know, borderline Heisman candidate quarterback, Jalen Monroe, Milroe, I apologize. Milroe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are we feeling about Alabama this year? This is such a weird year for them, besides their coach being not being Nick Saban.
100%. They play a tough schedule this year. The way I'm looking at this conference, especially when it comes to win totals and seeing who I like for the conference, yeah. I'm breaking the conference down almost in half, and I'm picking a top eight based on the odds here in the top right. Again, check out the YouTube. Take a look and see what the conference winner odds are here in the top right. I'm cutting this list at eight teams, and I'm doing the top eight. So it starts at Georgia, ends at Missouri. Alabama plays five of these teams this year, and two of them on the road. They also it's not even listed on here because this is conference opponents. They also play Wisconsin in their non-conference schedule. Now, yeah, I said last episode that I did not like Wisconsin. I do think Alabama will beat them, but probably. I think that this new coach hire is going to be fantastic, but there's growing pains with a new coach. So I actually don't see Ohio State. I don't see Alabama being as dominant and getting to the SEC championship. I still think they can definitely make a run. I think the SEC will put out four teams into the playoff. They can definitely make a run for the fourth spot.
That's what's fun about this 12 team. I mean, four SEC teams, you can certainly imagine it with the strength of this conference. But like you just said, these teams are going to eat each other up. So whoever comes out, and if there's four teams that come out, that is insanely impressive. And, you know, what comes with the beauty of the 12 team. But Davis, like you said, Bama has some tough, tough games this year. I see that they have to play Georgia at home. They have to obviously play Auburn in the Iron Bowl at home, which is never a layup. Mm-hmm. They have LSU on the road, Tennessee on the road. It's going to be interesting. And then them going to play in a new place like Oklahoma, you know, I'm sure they'll win that game, but going to a new place like that's got to be a little weird where you're like, I'm not comfortable, you know, new chance, new everything. Throw them off a little bit. All right, pairing these two teams together, Arkansas and Auburn, who's better?
I'm going to go with Auburn. Arkansas is bad, man. Arkansas, really? They are not very good.
Is KJ Jefferson still their quarterback?
He is not. He is moving on to UCF.
He's still playing?
Yes,
he is. How does he have eligibility?
He is still playing college football, and he's the quarterback of UCF. The UCF, I believe it's the Golden Knights, if not
just you're right.
The Knights. Or maybe it's the Black Knights. I don't know.
You're right, Golden Knights.
Funny enough, KJ Jefferson – we can get to him on a different podcast. I really like him this year. I like UCF too. But this Arkansas,
we'll get to that in the Big 12.
This Arkansas team is going to be really bad. And just look at that schedule. I mean, the Mississippi State might be the worst team in the conference.
In conference schedule is good.
You have to assume Vanderbilt's at the bottom, but Mississippi State's actually very close to them at the bottom this year.
Yeah.
Every other game that they play this year is 100% very tough. I don't think this Arkansas team will win more than two games in the conference. I only have two wins for them in the conference, and I think they only win about four or five games and are fighting for bowl eligibility for sure this year.
Oh, tough scene for the Razorbacks. Yeah. And then, you know, Auburn's always right in the middle. We'll see what happens with them and Hugh Freeze this year. Mm-hmm. Florida, they have a really tough week one matchup against Miami, I believe. How are you feeling about the Gators?
Yeah, I have Miami in that game, but that game is basically a toss-up right now, which could make or break my Miami season. But this Florida team plays a stretch of football in November, the end of October and November, where they play, I believe they play Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, and LSU.
That'll do it to you.
It's the toughest stretch of schedule in college football history, without a doubt. And this Florida team, they have a chance if they win nine games to really show themselves as a playoff contender. And I think if they win nine games, they have to be talked about as making the playoff because their schedule is unbelievably difficult with starting the year with Miami too.
Yeah, out of conference. That's got to be tough. Next on the list, the Georgia Bulldogs. Are they going to be the number one team going into the playoff?
Great. That's an unbelievable question. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a perfect season for them this year. They definitely play a few tough games. They are on the road at Alabama. I think the tough game on they play on the road at Texas too. I like Texas, but I think the tough game might be on the road at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has seemed to give them troubles the last few years. I almost said Stenson Bennett. I'm blanking on their quarterback this year. Who's their quarterback this year?
Oh, Carson Beck.
I think he definitely still has to prove himself a little bit.
Yeah, but he's probably a first-round pick next year as it is.
I saw some mocks where he might go number one.
I know, yeah.
It's kind of insane. But
over Shador, which is, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this Georgia team's definitely going to have a tough go at it. They have some pretty easy home games, but I think the road games, they can definitely drop one and still be the number one seed going into the playoff, possibly.
Yeah. And let's not forget, we talked about Florida State getting snubbed. Georgia got snubbed. They've lost one game in the last two seasons, and they didn't make the playoff last year because they lost narrowly to Alabama in the SEC championship. So the Bulldogs are coming out for blood. Like, pretty Florida crazy. State, probably not as much. I would be scared of Georgia if I was Alabama going to play them at the end of the year. I know it's going to be at Alabama, but my God, that place is going to be jumping.
Yep. They also start the year against Clemson.
That'll be a great game.
Week one. So we shall see. I hope it's not Georgia, really, just as a fan. But
I agree.
You hate to see dynasties, but, you know, sometimes they just happen. You have to kind of embrace it a little bit. But
yeah. So let's go. Let's package these next two, Kentucky and LSU. Who's better?
LSU. I think LSU. I think Grant Nussmeier. He's taking over the quarterback role over Jaden Daniels this year. He actually played pretty well in their bowl game. I believe, if I remember correctly, I was sitting in this chair watching them play against Wisconsin right before I was about to take a walk in the snow for my 75 hard. and I watched LSU win that game.
That was great.
I actually like LSU this year. I don't see them being a contender to make the playoff, honestly.
They're just below that tier.
I think they could be the fifth best team in this conference. We'll see, though. I still think Missouri beats them, has a better year than them, and I think it's kind of like 1-2 for who's the fifth best team in the conference. But LSU doesn't have too bad of a schedule. I mean, their road games are Texas A&M, which is definitely winnable. Arkansas, winnable. South Carolina, they're at bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah.
And Florida. So their away games are actually not too bad. But their home games are still getting Alabama and Ole Miss. They actually have a pretty favorable schedule.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with LSU. They've had
Ryan Kelly's there too. I'm not a fan of him.
It's hard not to forget that.
Yes.
I mean, they have really shit the bed since they won a national title, unfortunately. But let's go with that next team, Ole Miss. I really like Ole Miss this year, and it's not because they beat Penn State in their bowl game last year. They are returning most of their starters. They have one of the best transfer classes as well. This Ole Miss team is going to be here to play. So can they make the playoff?
Absolutely, they can make the playoff.
The second team in the SEC?
They can with this schedule. If you're looking at the schedule here, again, same as LSU, they play three bottom feeder teams, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and South Carolina. Yes, they're going to have to play Georgia, but it's at home, and they do play LSU on the road, but I'm down on Oklahoma, as we'll get to in a little bit, and you see here on the graphic. I think they can definitely win that game, and Kentucky is on somewhat of a downward spiral since Will Levis left. They're actually getting some sanctions possibly coming against them soon. I think this Ole Miss
team, still a basketball school confirmed.
Yes. They can definitely win 10 games this year. Their win total set at 9.5. I like the over, and I think they could possibly teeter around the 2-3 spot in this conference.
I agree. Watch out for Jackson Dart. I've always been a fan of him. We'll see what happens.
He's so good, isn't he?
He's really, really good. We'll see what he's like this year. But this next team, Mississippi State, you already said they're going to be pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, nothing notable. They actually play a really tough schedule on the road this year. They play at Ole Miss, at Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas.
I think those are all losses.
This Mississippi State team, I believe they're over-under set at around 4.5. They're going to struggle to get to 5.
Yeah.
They're not going to make a bowl this year.
I feel bad for these bad SEC teams. It's got to be tough to even start your year.
For sure.
We'll get to Vandy. The next team, the Missouri Tigers. I was just telling you before we started, I really like Missouri. There's a really simple explanation. I've enjoyed playing with them in college football. That's what's fun about this video game is you get to play with some of these random schools, some random players, and you're like, oh, whoa, I had a lot of fun playing with that random receiver. And that random receiver I was playing with turned out to be Luther Burden, who might be
he's
going to
be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, he's really, really good. So thank you for NCAA for getting me hip to him. Their quarterback, Brady Cook, is also pretty freaking decent. This Missouri team might make some headlines this year.
I think they definitely can. I think they have the offense to do it. They returned a lot of players on offense.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they lost five players to the NFL draft within the first three rounds. So the defense is definitely going to be the question. I think Brady Cook has what it takes. It's just tough to have two miracle seasons in a row.
Yeah.
I don't absolutely see them making the playoff, but I do have their win total set at, I believe it's at 9 or 8.5. I think they can definitely get 9 wins, but they're definitely teetering on that playoff side. Their schedule also is extremely easy compared to a lot of these other teams. They avoid Georgia. They avoid Texas.
Arkansas, Auburn, and Vandy all at home has got to be nice.
Correct. So I think the way they get there is through their schedule, not upsets.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like Missouri. Look out for the Tigers this year. Oklahoma, you've talked about them a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be down on Oklahoma this year. Their win total is set at 7.5. I'm going to struggle to see 7 wins on this schedule, to be completely honest with you. They lost a lot of players. They lost a lot in the transfer portal. They're a team that does not participate in the transfer portal like other teams do. Another team who doesn't participate and why I'm down on them is the Clemson Tigers. I don't know if Dabo Sweeney has gotten to the – I don't know if he knows what the transfer portal is, but you just have to hit RB twice when you're in the recruiting tab. It's not really that hard.
He does it out of principle at this point.
Yeah, sure. The Red River rivalry.
I think it's the showdown now.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
I hate that. they play Texas. That game can always be close. But I think that their schedule is brutal.
Didn't they beat Texas last year?
I believe they did.
Yeah.
But even look at Oklahoma's schedule for a second. They actually play. Remember I broke this conference up into the top 8?
Yeah.
They play every single top 8 team except Georgia. So they actually play Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, A&M, Tennessee, and Missouri this year.
Tough.
I think the Sooners are going to be down, and I think they're going to fight to get 7 wins, even though that their win total is 7.5.
Tough first year in the SEC for the Sooners, possibly loading. This next one, the South Carolina Gamecocks, pretty bad, huh?
Nothing notable. Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler's actually making some noise in New Orleans.
I was going to say that too. Watch out for him with the Saints. Mm-hmm. Next team, the Tennessee Volunteers. A lot of people like Tennessee this year. Seen a lot of people putting them in their top 12s for predictions at the end of the year. Do you feel that way too?
I do. I think this Tennessee team, they have the schedule to do it. They have the new quarterback to do it. I'm not going to pronounce his name because
I don't know. It's Nico something.
It's Nico I. All right.
Nico I.
Nico and I are going to possibly get the championship this year. I think Tennessee is actually sleeperish. They're actually 2-1 to make the college football playoff this year.
I like that a lot.
15-1 to win the SEC. Even if you look at the schedule, they actually only play 2 teams out of those top 8 that I've kind of been rolling around. And one of them is Alabama with that new coach, and they get them at home.
That'll be a great game.
I think that this Tennessee team has the chance to win 10 games. And I don't think that's an overstatement. I mean, you can maybe put Florida in that list, maybe Kentucky. Mm. But if you're going on the road, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, I think those are all 3 dubs. And
Georgia will be tough.
Your home game smells like 3.5 wins. If you can just kind of push out one of those games to get a 4th, that's 11-1, and you're almost a college football playoff lock at that point. Love Tennessee 2-1 to make it. And I actually might, right after we end this podcast, might put some down for 15-1.
I like it a lot. I mean, we talked about teams like Penn State being built for the playoff, but Tennessee is right next to Penn State, and they were the number one team in the country for a hot second 2 years ago. People forget they looked really good with Hendon Hooker. So it's nice to see that Tennessee is continuing. Obviously, they have been a good team on the up and up, but when you have Joe Milton as your starting quarterback last year, it's tough. And a lot of Patriots fans were getting hyped about Joe Milton, but the Joe Milton experiment goes up and then it goes all the way down. So they are seeing that right now. Tennessee's
former Michigan Wolverine, by the way.
Yeah, people forget. This next team, Texas. This is the turning point year for Texas. This is the first year in the SEC for them, but they have made the college football playoff the last 2 years. Can they possibly see the national title game this year? I mean, they're They're going up and up. They have Quinn Ewers from possibly his last year, Arch Manning possibly next year. Is this the start of something? Are they going to continue their consistency?
You know what, Ethan? I think Texas is going to Texas this year. I think that their win total set at 10.5. You look at the schedule and it smells like 11 wins. They play Michigan also in the non-conference. I'm definitely down on Michigan. I do think Texas will win that game.
Yeah,
Texas has actually gone through many injuries in training camp so far. They've already lost their top two running backs for the entire year. They have a wide receiver. What? They have a wide receiver coming into the running back room to compete for the starting job actually right now.
I'm sure he's fast as shit knowing he's Texas.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to be down on Texas this year. Not as much as Oklahoma. I still think 10-2 is definitely in the works and they can make the playoff, but
yeah,
their win total set at 10.5. They're plus 320 to win the conference. I'm going to be out on that. I think that's way too high. And I do think Texas, they always lose one bad game every year. And I don't see them beating Georgia either on the road. So I am going to go with the under 10.5 wins for them, but I think 10 is pretty reliable.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really want to talk about Vandy because they stink and they usually stink. So Vandy's probably going to Vandy. Maybe not to get last. We'll see. What do you think about the Aggies? I haven't heard much about A&M this year.
They are actually getting a lot of traction right now. Getting a decent amount of heat. They are obviously in this top eight that I've mentioned. They play Notre Dame to start the year. That's going to be a very interesting game as someone who's on
Notre
Dame. Is that
A&M?
That's a great question. I think
it's both crazy ass environments, so it doesn't really matter.
I believe it's at A&M.
A&M might be the most underrated environment in all of college football. People forget.
For sure. 12th man.
It's the Penn State of the South.
It is the Penn State of the South. I think Texas A&M can be good this year, but they're another team who's lost some bad games in the last few years too. Yeah. They lost to App State 2 years ago. And they people like them because they have a pretty easy schedule, especially on the road. They play Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, and South Carolina on the road. Now they do play Arkansas at home, so that should be another win, but they still get LSU, Missouri, and Texas. I think if they drop that first game of the year to Notre Dame and drop the LSU, Missouri, and Texas game, 8-4 doesn't sound like a playoff team to me, obviously.
No.
But I don't know. It sounds like a 9-3, 8-4 season to me. And I'm not going with the playoff with Texas A&M after losing to the Fighting Irish in week one.
That will be tough. And I think A&M is one of these teams that's really going to like suffer from having Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC now, because they were always right in the middle in terms of SEC tiers. And like they've sniffed college football playoff appearances recently. You know, if the 12 team playoff was in the format the last 5 years, they might've made it a couple times. Like they've been right there, but you know, Texas is going to be a fun rivalry for them in state now. So I feel like that A&M Texas game could be really fun and really decide both of their seasons at that point.
For sure.
Yeah, but people forget A&M, they're rabid. They're definitely rabid.
They are. All right, Davis. Before we move on.
Yeah, what you got?
Let's do our friend of the episode, friend of the year segment.
Yeah.
Let's give a call to college football analyst Matt Stiers.
I like it.
Oh,
newly engaged. Shout out.
Look, this is not
good. Oh, whoa. Don't put his number out there.
Number's not there. Do we have another friend of the year award? No, we're out.
We could try Amir. We can try Amir.
Let's do Amir. You want
it? Yeah. Who's your SEC champion, by the way? Pick it right now. I got Georgia.
I'm gonna go with Georgia. It's so sad. Yeah. But I'm gonna go with Georgia. If we're talking value, like I said, I'm going Tennessee, but I'm gonna have to go Georgia.
Yeah, give Amir a call. I want to see what he has to say.
Here we go. He's gonna pick Georgia.
Obviously. I mean, Carson Beck, come on.
If he doesn't, that'd be great, though.
I want to pick Alabama just to see your face.
Oh, if he picks Alabama. If he picks Oklahoma, I'm out, too.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail.
Person you're trying to reach. Negative brownie points for both.
Matt in the mirror, you're on the list. Okay. Right.
We'll get some answers in the comments below.
Yeah. Please comment below who you think is going to win the SEC. If it's not Georgia, that is. If it's not, we will assume that all of you think it's Georgia.
Agreed.
All right, let's get to some fantasy football before we get out of here. it's time to start getting into the research, start thinking about who you shouldn't and shouldn't be drafting. So I just got a little tier list of all the running backs, Davis. I just want to ask you three questions. The first question is, who on this list doesn't belong in their tier? Because one is standing out to me. Actually, I got two in tier three. I just wanted to see if anything stands out to you. I'll go first if you'd like.
I think I know one of them. I'm going to guess one of them, and I'm going to have you do the other two. I'm going to go with James Cook.
That was one
for Buffalo. We saw last year in a football game, I forget who they were playing, but James Cook fumbled on the first play of the game, and Sean McDermott had the balls to take him out for the rest of the half. If you're fumbling the football as much as he is, and you have to be benched for an entire half because of it, you do not belong in tier three, my friend.
Yeah. 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 I kind of agree. And the other one I had on there was Rashad White. I think he might be good this year, and I think he might be worth a tier three running back rating, but just not yet. He was just so like missing the mark last year. He had a couple of touchdowns, I feel like, but I feel like that offense will be so much better if they have a reliable running back. And Rashad White just hasn't been there yet. And that's it. That's just kind of my reasoning. He's just not there yet.
He's not definitely not the most consistent nor the most efficient running back in the league, but I think he could be decent because of how many touches he's going to get. Good in the pass game, too. But they did just draft a running back, I believe. I don't know who it is, but I believe they just drafted a running back.
No, I think you're right.
I'll find out who it is. Who's your third on that tier three list?
I mean, this is your guy, but Devon Achain. I think it's just so weird to have him a full tier above Raheem Morris. They should be right next to each other. Morris was so good last year. He really was. Like, I mean, he probably wasn't better in total efficiency than Achane was. Raheem Mostert. I just think that he's still consistent. And I think at the end of the day, he might get more touches than Achane again this year. Like, Achane is still a backup who, you know, did get hurt a little bit last year, and, you know, they did draft somebody. I think it's the other Tennessee running back, DeLon Wright. Is that his name? I think.
Possibly.
And then they already have, I don't know. But they got a loaded running back room. That's kind of my theory on that.
Yeah.
And Achain, obviously, if he was alone, that backfield would probably be in tier two by himself. So it's more of like the positioning and where people are.
Achane last year.
I know you love him.
Most yards per carry with anybody over 100 carries by a wide margin, by 2.5 full yards. Achane actually got 8 yards per carry last year. He only played in 11 games, got 103 attempts, and he still was able to find 800 yards in the game on the ground. Now, I will say some of that might be because of the 200-yard game against the Broncos. That happens. But yep. I think there's a chance. I do think he definitely might get on a snap count this year. He does not have the frame to stay healthy for 18 weeks. Yeah. I believe he's only 5'9". He has the stature of Sty. I don't think Sty's taking 130 hits like Don Achane is. But I think that there's a chance he could be very efficient on the ground, giving him more carries. And if he stays healthy, I think he breezes by 1,000 yards this year. Even if he's not healthy, I think he still has a chance to even do what he did last year, and that's be, honestly, the most efficient running back in the entire NFL.
I totally agree, actually. I mean, it really depends on situation. That's my whole thing. And depending on situation is one of the worst things you can try and rely on in fantasy because it's completely out of your control. And beyond that, it's depending on other people's health, which is never fun to root against.
Correct.
My second question, I mean, is who's your biggest riser this year? I already have one that pops out to me if you need a second.
Riser coming into like someone on this list that I think is going to do better than their tier.
Yes. So mine is Aaron Jones, actually.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was thinking maybe the same.
Yeah. Tier four. He's the 22nd running back overall. He's shared snaps the last couple of years with AJ Dillon. I think people were expecting Aaron Jones to like get bad and get washed and that AJ Dillon's going to take over. And that was just not what happened. Aaron Jones continued to be the best running back. People forget he's an amazing pass catcher. Like, you know, he had Aaron Rodgers, which probably helped, but he can really, you know, stretch the field in more ways than one. And in Minnesota, he's pretty much the lead back, I think. I think Ty Chandler might be there still, who's decent, but it's pretty much Aaron Jones. And now that JJ McCarthy's gone, Donald's going to have to rely on him.
Can I give you a boring one first, and then I'll go with my big one? Boring one's going to be Saquon Barkley, actually.
Oh, okay. I
think Saquon Barkley should be in this tier one. I think the only reason he's not is because of the way the Eagles move around running the football and because of the tush push. I think Barkley, again, staying healthy-wise, breezes through 1,000 yards this year.
He should.
I think a part of the issue is his touchdowns, especially fantasy-wise. His FanDuel rushing touchdowns this year is only 6.5. A lot of these other guys are up to 7.5, 8.5, maybe even 9.5, like Christian McCaffrey. But
yeah,
so worried about the tush push. But I do think Saquon Barkley will show that he is such a goal line threat, not only by the run, but he is a pass catcher too. So give me 17 rushing attempts and 5 catches a game, or 5 attempts, targets a game.
Makes sense.
I think it's going to be an unreal season for Saquon Barkley.
That's a really good one, actually. I like that. And then what was your better one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the last guy on this list. I'm actually going to go
Zamir. Oh, I like this a lot.
I'm going to go with Zamir White. The reason I'm going to do it is because he's the only running back that they might use for a little bit in the season.
Yeah.
Not only that, sometimes you have to look at head coach. And Antonio Pierce, who just got hired full-time instead of being the interim from last year, is
a
conservative coach and very old school. Zamir White, he has the chance of touching the ball almost 25 times a game.
Didn't he go crazy in that Chiefs game on Christmas Eve? And I think down the stretch, he just played well because Josh Jacobs was just not playing as much.
Correct. Yeah. That Chiefs game, he actually ran for 145 yards.
Yeah.
He really only played in the last 4 games of the season. Mm-hmm. He went 17 carries, 69 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 receptions, 22 carries, 145 yards, 0 catches, 20 carries, 71 yards, 5 catches, and 25 carries, 112 yards, 1 catch. He definitely has a lot of chance of touching the ball 22 to 25 times a game. He's definitely a sleeper of mine only because of just pure volume.
I love it. Yeah, that was my pick next to Aaron Jones, so I love this. And then third and finally, who are we avoiding? Because I'm just going to throw it out there, Najee Harris. I don't want any part of him. I don't want a part of the Steelers running back room either because Jaylen Warren just got hurt. So I don't want a Steelers running back.
Yeah, off rip, I'm going to take Kyren Williams. I've gone on over this on a previous podcast.
Is it because of Blake Corum?
They drafted Blake Corum.
I know it.
That tells me Blake Corum's going to be the third running back. What that tells me is that
who's the other one?
It's still
Daryl Henderson.
Rams running backs. Let's Daryl Henderson. Is it still Daryl Henderson?
He's been there forever.
Hey, you know what? Maybe they don't. Ronnie Rivers.
Oh yeah, Ronnie Rivers.
Anyway, I think I think that Kyren Williams, they know that he's definitely going to be injury prone. He was basically questionable for the whole entire second half of last season. Still having some nagging. I think it's a hamstring issue. If not, it's a foot issue. So that's something that doesn't really just go away when the season's coming up like this. So
especially when you run the ball.
yeah. You'll be fine. Yeah. If you wanted me to go a little bit lower on the list.
Yeah. Anybody?
I don't know. I always, when I look at running backs, and not to give you my secrets, but I'll do it for the audience. I'll do it for the Steve and Ryan who are listening right now. But it sounds stupid. I like running backs on good teams. They run the ball more. So if you look at some of these teams up even towards the top, in the middle, actually,
what about Mixon on the Texans? They're supposed to be a good team this year.
I don't hate him to lead the league in rushing touchdowns this year. That's a bet I've looked at before. I think he's sitting upwards of 40-1.
Wow.
I think that they might just pound him in the red zone. CJ Stroud, though, is definitely due for another good year, I think.
Yeah,
but 100%. I go to tier four. I'm never picking James Conner. Arizona's not going to be good.
Yeah, I hate that one.
I don't want Ramondre Stevenson. When are they going to run the ball?
Why?
When are they going to run the ball? When they're down by 24 in the third quarter? I don't think
that's a fair point. Yeah. So, well, if Drake May is their quarterback, you never know.
Yeah. They should have gotten J.J. McCarthy then. He loves handing the ball off.
He really does. He will hand the ball off every single down. He loves it.
It's like 31 straight running plays against Penn State last year. Crazy.
And I remember it wasn't.
Nah.
Well, shout out to Jimmy McCarthy. He's on the mend for this year, but you know, he's a good passer. He's a good passer. All right, Davis. I think that concludes the show for today. We got a lot done today. We went through the entire SEC. We got you guys ready for week zero, and we went through the tiers of running backs. This is a good prep. I'm ready to go. How are we feeling, Davis?
Feeling great. I think
you gonna win a fantasy league this year?
Am I gonna win one?
Yeah, you gonna win one this year?
I don't know. Once I draft, we'll do reviews, draft reviews. I like it. I think that'd be a great segment, actually.
Yeah.
Possibly doing draft reviews.
DM us on Instagram if your lineups.
Yep. We'll go through them. We'll have a dedicated podcast going through your guys' lineups for sure. I know Steve does the Survivor pool. I don't think he does fantasy. So I actually have a full Excel file that I've already had. Oh, I have it all mapped out already. So if we wanted to go over that, we can do that too. Do some.
Yeah, sounds like we got the next couple of videos planned out.
We'll be back.
I like it. So please stay tuned, because football season means more content from the Bocce Boys, means more content that you're going to need to be watching from the Bocce Boys. So stay tuned. Instagram's below. That TikTok is not there. Follow that. The Twitter is down there. That's incorrect. We got a new Twitter. Hit the link tree. Follow that. Other than that, we love you guys. Keep watching, keep supporting, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Peace.